Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria.
We are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPARC and Encuentro Radio.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on Encuentro Radio. Today is July 17th and we are back with Michelle. Welcome back to Bogota. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm good. Happy to be here for yet another episode. Missed you guys.
We missed you too. I'm also here with Mariana. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm sleepy.
Always.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm happy to be here with you guys.
So today, Michelle is going to talk about what the experience of the workshops in Boyacá were like. Before we get to that, because I know we were talking yesterday about one of the topics for the workshops on like economic rights and the importance of women being able to learn to, you know, manage their own finances or to save and to have that right and freedom and possibility. And so I have a question for all of us and for listeners, too. If you're listening and want to share your answer to the question, welcome. But who taught you about money and savings, or what was the first memory you have about learning to handle money? I remember having like a, I mean, we call it a piggy bank, but it wasn't in the form of like a pig, which is which is where the name piggy bank comes from. But I remember having like a Hershey chocolate, like a tall cylinder that I would, you know, put my coins and allowance in.
Okay.
I remember I was in the Girl Scouts, which does like girl, like empowerment for girls and leadership training, leadership skills. And they had some sessions on like savings and, or activities with like, you have this pretend budget and plan out, you know, the trip that you want to take or something, and learning how to do all that. And then I remember getting like lunch money from my parents or something, and kind of figuring out like, oh, okay, if I buy the cheaper option for lunch, then I have money to like go to the dollar store or go to like a candy store or something on my way home from school, and I can get myself an extra treat or something. So that of like learning how to kind of manage your own money. I think those are like the earliest memories that I have. Okay. What about you guys?
I guess maybe my mother, but I know that my grandfather all the time teach my mother and more my aunt, like take care with money. Like I remember I have like a little memories with him because he died when I have like 7 years old. But it's not so much. He have like a small book, and he write everything that he needs to pay.
Hmm.
And in the moment that he have the money, he put the money that he need to pay there. And I remember that, and my mom do that when she need to do that. So I guess it was my mom like telling me when I work with my uncle or with my aunt, she told me like take care with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can use other time, not like be crazy with the money or something like that. I guess it was my mom.
Hmm. What about you, Michelle?
I would say it was my mom too, because I had like an uncle, my mother's brother,
mm-hmm.
who like every time he'd come around, he'd like give us money, especially me, because I was like
the favorite.
And every time he'd come around, I'd be so excited, and I'd be sitting next to him like, give me the money.
Yeah.
Give me the money. Yeah. And then also because of the background that I have, that my parents sort of like separated before I was born and stuff, like there were times where I'd see my dad and he'd give me money. Dad is girl, only girl.
Yeah.
So I guess that's when my mom was like, you are getting all this money, but what do you really want to do with it? Like, you can't just buy food and, you know, like useless things like those and stuff like that. You have to save so that one day if you need something, you at least have money for that. And I have to confess, at first it was so hard because you go to school and then there's all these vendors selling all these nice things and you just want to buy everything. But yeah, up to now, it's my mom. Because even up to now, she even told me, you have to save. Are you saving? I know you. Are you being like religious when it comes to saving and stuff like that? So she's like, she's been the only person who's been holding me down when it comes to saving money. Really.
Interesting that all of us have these experiences with other women in our family.
Yeah.
Maybe because we're also women here, so that like passing on of women teaching, you know, kids and the newer generation of like, no, this is, you know, you have to be able to do this, and in order to be an independent woman, you have to be able to manage your finances and your own money.
True, because I remember there was also a time Like, my mom would constantly tell me that you need to be financially independent because, like, with the situation that is in our country where many young girls fall victims to, like, having blessers and weird relationships with men because of money, like, I don't want you to be one of those people who fall, like, victim of such things or, like, simply have a relationship with someone because they're buying you something that you cannot afford on your own. And I also want you to have the exposure that maybe one day if you, like, have a boyfriend and he buys you, like, I don't know, like a waffle with ice cream, you won't be like, oh, wow, what is this? You know, you'll be like, oh, I've had this before. Nothing.
I can buy this for myself.
Yeah,
I don't need you.
And it gives that, like, help to the idea that the woman can be independent because in the society, normally believe that the man is the pay everything. And if you go out with a man, it's normally when you gonna pay, they ask for the man more than the woman. So I guess that, like, that our mothers teach, like, take care of the money is, like, a new vision that we can, like, afford our money and all the things that we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the stereotypes of, like, men being the ones to handle money still exist. I think we've talked about, like, different micro-machismos. And the example I usually use is, like, if I pay for something and they give the card or the change to either my boyfriend or the male friend that I'm with, and while I'm the one that's paying.
It's my money.
Those kind of things that are, like, people without even thinking about it necessarily are just, you know, assume that it's the man or putting the check in front of the man at the table. As opposed to, you know, it's those, like, lasting machismos.
Or when you pay, like, the face for the person you've received the money is, like, shock. Because that happened to me with my boyfriend. I was gonna pay, and the girl, I don't remember it was a girl or a man, like, looking like, why you are
right, like,
paying
the man
this?
Should pay for the date,
and
the woman and should
my
never pay, and those
she have the money, she's her money, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna pay, I need my money back. So it's not a strain, because for a lot of people, that's not normal that the woman pay, but that's something we need to start change.
We are listening to Billie Eilish today. Do you have any information or intro or reason to our artist of the day, Michelle, before we go to another song?
I love Billie Eilish.
Understandable.
I love her music so much. It's calming, it's soothing, and sometimes it invokes certain emotions. Like, for example, you should see me in a crown. Like, it gives that badass kind of, you know. And, well, I do like her, and I love the journey that she went on up to the person that she is now, and how her lyrics are sort of like things that we can relate on, like, on a daily. And she's so young. Like, I was looking at a bit of information about her, and she was, like, born in 2001. I was like, wow, she's, like, 3 or 4 years younger than me. And her music is so mature. So, yeah, we're listening to Billie Eilish today, and I hope that our listeners enjoy her as much as I enjoy her.
We'll go back to another song, and we'll be right back. Saw them standing right there. Kind of thought they might care. I tried to scream.
but my head was underwater. They called me weak, like I'm not just somebody's daughter. It could have been a nightmare, but it felt like they were right there. And it feels like yesterday was a year ago.
Back. So Michelle, welcome back to Bogota. Tell us all about the trip to Boyacá. This was your second time, right?
Yes.
So how did it go?
I loved it so much. Oh my god. Like, first time it was so terrible. I wanted to die. I felt like I was blindsided. But then this time...
You knew what to expect.
Yeah. I was so ready. Like... From clothes to mindset to everything, I was ready to do Cap to Cairo walking, but then, well, it so happened that we were visiting a different area, and I think the name is Morca, I think.
Morca.
Yeah. Yes, Morca. I really loved it. It's small, it's quiet, and it was so peaceful, and I just loved and. Because you cannot get, like, proper service. I really loved the detaching from technology and stuff. It was amazing. And also, like, when we... Because I think on Friday, we had a workshop with young adults. In my mind, I was like, young adults, probably teenagers. And then I see these little girls from, like, 10 to 12 coming. And I'm like, oh my god, am I overprepared for this? Is my information too much for this? I'm always amazed at these CEPALC workshops because in my mind I'll be thinking like, back when I had 12 years, I didn't think about serious issues.
Yeah.
And here we have participants like going in depth, like speaking things that are rich of information. So we talked with... young girls, 10 to 12, about women and the economy and the importance of, like, saving money from at a young age. So, because I'm a foreigner and we're, like, two people from different worlds, we had to, like, compare notes. Like, I would talk about the situation in my home country and then I would hear from the listeners what... how things are here in Colombia. So we talked about like the problems that women are facing and how they are hindering the progress in the economy. And then some of the things we talked about were like teenage pregnancies and how education for like young women is not viewed as very important. And how, like, we have our mothers who are doing, like, the cleaning, the laundry, and taking care of us. But it's like they're working, but they're not getting paid for that work.
Yeah.
And then we also talked about how there's not, like, enough representation of women in the economy. Like how, for example, like, in those high positions, especially where I come from, you don't find a lot of women there. It's usually men. And then there's also, we also talked about how there are no, like, there's not a huge percentage of women that own property or land for agriculture or anything like that. And we discovered that it's actually the same here in Colombia, because, like, where I come from, even when it comes to inheriting, like, maybe my dad has passed on, and maybe I'm, like, the only child that he had, there's, like, a law that says I cannot inherit his property, especially, like, housing.
Okay.
So that makes it, like, the number depreciate more of how many women have, like, housing to their names. And we also talked about how when it comes to employment, there's also, like, a gap in salaries, where we could be doing the same job, but the man is earning more because there's a belief that he's the head of the house, so he has to, like, get more, whereas we have the same qualifications, we're doing the same job. Why can I not get the same salary? We also talked about that. And we also talked about how, like, even, oh my God, I'm forgetting. We talked about a lot. Let me breathe a bit. Okay. We also talked about how it's difficult for women to, like when they are mothers, like, go back to work, because, like, mostly when someone takes maternity leave, or they end up just taking that decision to just say, I'm just going to be a housewife, it's better for me to just stay at home and take care of the kids whilst my husband does the whole working. And then I also, like, give an example of how that passed with my mother, because when she had me, she was still working. And then when she had my brother, she had to, like, stop, because they sort of, like, talked about it and realized that it would be better if she stayed at home and stuff like that. And then, well, along the road, it sort of, like, worked for some years. And then along the road, well, the husband started doing shady things. And then my mom was like, I think it's better if I just start going back to work, so that, in a way, if anything happens, I'll be able to take care of myself. And then she sort of, like, dived into the working situation. But not all women are fortunate to, like, say, once they've stopped going to work for some years, they can be able to go back, because they're, like, certain professions where, like in medicine, you have to be constantly practicing. You cannot say you were a doctor 5 years ago and then you come today and you say, I want to treat patients. Because obviously there's so many changes in the profession and how people treat patients. So we talked about all of those problems. And then we talked about why it's important to save money. Like, given the situation, how the economy is not favorable towards women, what then can we do to, like, make the situation better and saving money? And then I was really surprised at the responses I got from the participants. Like, I remember this 10-year-old was like, I think I'm going to start saving money because I want to be independent. Like, we noticed that in the, like, in the situations that people are living in, especially in parts of Colombia where it's, like, rural-ish, we have situations where a man feels like he has the right to violate a woman, because it's like, look, I'm the one who's paying the bills. I'm the one who's making sure kids are fed. And then I'm even the one that bought the underwear that you're wearing. So there's nothing really you can say to stand for yourself. So women end up taking that hurt, because they feel weak and defenseless. And then the other one was like, I want to save money because right now I cannot have a dog. My parents don't want me to have a dog. So at least if I have my own money, and when I grow up, I can, like, get a dog from a pet shelter, like a rescue, and then I can take care of them. It was so cute. And then the other one which surprised me was this girl who was like, I want to study, I want to be a psychologist, but because of the situation at home, I don't feel like I will be able to do so because my parents don't have the funding. So it's better that I save my money so that one day I'll be able to do what I want to do with my life. And I was like, I'm really surprised, and it's really interesting because, for example, I have a friend. She wants to be like a sociologo, something like that. But because her parents could not afford to like send her to do what she needs to do in order to be like appraised or something like that, she's working as a like a call center agent so that she can save her own money and later go to school, which is something a lot of young women here in Colombia are doing. And I think it's actually very nice to say at the end of the day, I did this on my own, to look at your achievements, because they all came from saving money. And I thought it was amazing, because at first I was like, saving money, we're talking to kids, how is this going to work? How are they going to understand all of this, you know? And we also talked about, one of my colleagues, Alejandra, also talked about how much it costs to be a woman. Like, we have certain things that we have to pay for as women that men do not have to pay for. For example, menstrual products. And we spend a lot of money on menstrual products. And we also talked about how I was actually surprised when I came to Colombia that I can buy pads for, like, just meal, which is, like, less than $1. I was like, is this right? Can I buy Kotex pads, like 12 of them for like just meal? And then, because where I come from, Kotex is a, like a big brand, and we have to pay like more maybe expensive. $3 for each. So we also talked about how that also affects us as women, because we have like households where there are people who cannot even afford housing. Like, I remember there's a day where Mariana was telling us that there's a population where people have to pay like per day for housing. And I'm thinking, if someone is in that type of situation, probably menstrual products will be like the last thing on their mind. And even those people in like war zones and stuff like that. So it was really interesting. And then we also got to hang out with the kids, like the kids, like
the little kids.
Yeah, the 5-6 year old kids. And we talked about the importance of protecting their earth and the environment and little things we can do to make the world better, like recycling. And we also talked about the situation of how, like, in big cities like Bogota, like the part where we live, there's like a proper disposal of waste, but there are people living, I don't remember, was it in the south or in the north, I don't remember, but there are people actually living with garbage, but we don't know that. We're like, oh, because we have a proper garbage disposal, everything is fine, but there are actually people who are living with garbage, and there are actually people who are living on recycling, like they're making it a way of employment. So we did an activity where it was sort of like symbolic in a way that we can teach the children that it is important to take up the earth, the trees, the water, and our trash, not to just leave it wherever we want. So yeah, that was what we did at the workshops.
That sounds like a very productive couple of days. You got a lot accomplished in a short amount of time.
It really was. It's really amazing when you see like how what you've delivered makes an impact in someone's life.
I think last time I was in Boyacá, Daniel and I went out to, so we stayed in Sogamoso, which is a little more of like a city area. And there at a restaurant, we saw one of the girls who used to do the workshops when she was in high school. And she was working at the restaurant, and she told us how yeah, she has her own apartment and she's working and going to school.
Yeah.
And all the, and it, so it made us very proud too of like, okay, so something that we said probably stuck with her, that she wanted to, you know, she's go out, alive. Have her own, you know, independent life, that she mm-hmm. wants to study, that she's working hard to be able to, you know, study.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That she isn't pregnant already, you know, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Because especially in those rural zones, teen pregnancy is very high often.
That is true.
So seeing girls making, you know, decisions about the life that they want and being able to go after that really makes it all worth it.
Yeah. And it's really amazing because I remember even when we were in Sokomo, so we met about two or three people who were like past participants mm-hmm. of workshop from SEPALC. And it's really amazing when you see those people and you're like, SEPALC contributed a lot to how these people are now.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the guy that we usually have as our navigator,
mm-hmm.
he was also part of the SEPALC workshops when he was younger. And now he's working in the mines, but not like I'm going to die working in the mines. It's like I'm working in the mines so that I raise money so that I can take myself to university and mm-hmm. then realize my dreams.
Mm.
And I think that it's amazing because work in the mines has a lot of disadvantages, especially yeah. when it comes to health. But seeing as how he knows that it's the only way he can get the money and he has a dream that he wants to achieve, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
And I know that all the guys that participate here, they don't have, like, other opportunities because in the school, they're, like, it's so difficult that the teacher talking about a woman need to be independent. That's not going to happen because that's mm-hmm. something that, like, the education minister not believe that that's so important because mm-hmm. in the normal classes and in the education unit, it's not normally in like women's history, mm-hmm. just like history of Colombia and Spain and all these things and men,
mm-hmm.
because it's so strange that in a moment they talk about Policarpa Salavarrieta, that was that like the most important girl when we are trying to depend to the Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we know more about her, but it's not like so common that the history start for the women and how the women help in the war. So I guess obviously they have the opportunity not just participate in SEPALC, like work in SEPALC, it's so different.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's like all the talk that we have here and do in different parts, not just in Boyacá, in other parts here in Bogotá too, a lot of years ago, changed mm-hmm. a lot of life. Because in different parts of Bogota, like in the popular neighborhoods, it's more common that the teen get pregnant
mm-hmm.
and not be independent. But I know a lot of people that start going in the workshop that SEPALC do in Bogota for I don't know how many years they do that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people trying to change their life and have other opportunities.
It's really amazing. We should have like a SEPALC alumni kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I really think it's amazing how we have this opportunity as foreigners, like volunteers, to participate in things like that. Because I remember there were participants who would come to me and they would ask me, how did you end up here? What did you do? What did you study? Mm-hmm. Were you not scared? How do you feel here? Like,
yeah.
you know, those sort of questions. And I feel like, in a way, it's sort of like, it serves as a motivation for them. Like, they can see that the Zimbabwean girl is in Colombia and she studied this. And if I want to, I can do something similar and travel the world, something yeah. like that. It really is amazing. I enjoy these workshops. If there's no walking.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame that, like, financial literacy isn't really taught in most schools or in, like, curricula. Not, like, considered a basic thing in schools. It's the thing that, like, you know, that's up to your parents to teach you, which if your parents don't have, like, a firm grasp on how to make a budget, how to save, how to be responsible with your money, things like that, you know, it's... But they are life skills that, like, everyone should know. But most of the time, you either learn from your parents or from, like, trial and error of like you've been in situations where you haven't had enough money, and so you learn how to make, you know, make your money stretch for your needs the hard way.
Yeah, and sometimes here in Colombia it's difficult that your family teach you mm-hmm. that, because here believe that they not now but a lot of years ago that the men, it's like the powerful in the mm-hmm. house, he give the money, and the mom is just doing something, you know. So a lot of people not have that opportunity. Like right now, obviously, we can read something in the social media and we have more access about a lot of things, but like years ago, you not gonna listen to your mother. Like, you need to be independent, you not need a man. That's mm-hmm. like, it's changing. But true. Obviously, there's a lot of people here continue saying that you need a husband, you need to have kids. And if you want to, it's okay. But not like the principal role in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. And also, like, I feel like there's a need for this to be, like, something further explored, mm-hmm. if I may say. Because, yes, we live in a digital world. But if you don't know what you should look for, you at the end of the day, you won't have the information mm-hmm. you need.
Right.
Like, for example, with financial literacy, like, if you don't have information about loans or investments or, like, things you can look into.
Or if you don't know any better, you can get scammed very yeah. easily online.
Yeah. That's also a probability. And, like, knowing that there are actually ways that you can have a bank keep money for you, because mm-hmm. there are people like me who have problems, like, when you're, like, literally seeing the money, like, it's right there, you get easily tempted. But there's a need for people to know that you can actually have a plan with your bank, mm-hmm. and there are also plans that mature with time, mm-hmm. which can also be used as a way of saving money.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a song quickly, and then be right back to continue. This talk on, like, financial independence and economic rights had me thinking of the history of women's economic rights, and how, you know, our ancestors and generations before us may not have had these opportunities to be financially independent, and what that means. So I looked a little bit, mainly in the U.S., the history of women in finances. As with a lot of talk on women's rights in the U.S., there's always a caveat of, like, white women and women of color. So yeah. Mostly when we're talking about women's rights, it's very white-centered. And then acknowledging the rights for all women often comes later, which I think is important whenever you're reading something about feminism and women's movements, that it's not always as inclusive as it sounds. In the 1800s in the U.S., married women, and especially white women, and their financial assets fell under ownership of their husbands. So, like, once you were married, you were, like, legally one being okay. under the husband's name, okay. Which also often meant that, like, you went basically as property of, like, your father to property of your husband, essentially. So things, assets of your father get passed to your husband. And obviously, if you weren't white at this time in the U.S., likely you had absolutely no economic rights and were working under slavery or servitude. Then, in 1893, there's the Married Women's Property Act in Mississippi, which started spreading to other parts of the country as well, to allow white women to reclaim property ownership and separate themselves from their husband's debts. So this means that they could start having things in their own name and that they weren't necessarily financially responsible for their husband, who didn't consult them on spending. Yeah. So if your husband was in debt, you didn't necessarily have to take care of that. that's his problem. And you have can start having things in your own name. This was also, like, from what I understand reading about this, racially motivated as well, considering that slaves were considered property. This was also women fighting for their ownership of servants. So not so great as it sounds, but it's part of the history, and that's part of acknowledging it. In 1862, California became the first state to explicitly give women the right to open a bank account in their own name, regardless of marital status. Okay. And in some parts of the country, you could have a bank account. Sometimes it was required for, like, a male family member to be with you to, like, co-sign the bank account. Even if it was in your name, you needed to have a husband or father or brother or something.
Okay.
To do it for you or to be there with you. Mm. But it kind of depends on states, which is typical in the U.S. Finally, we jump ahead to 1963 with the Equal Pay Act, basically saying that, like, if for the same qualifications for work, you should be paid equally. Mm-hmm. This is still, although it is since 63 passed, you know, the Equal Pay Act, we know it's not necessarily a reality.
Yeah.
To this day, women, people of color, especially women of color, do not get paid the same as men. Do not get paid the same as white men, especially. That is still something that there is a barrier, there's a gender gap in the U.S., and I think all over the world, as we see evident. And then in 1974, we get the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, which made it unlawful for any creditor to discriminate against applicants based on race, sex, nationality, marital status, or age. So that's when we finally get a more inclusive look at economic rights. Basically, like, if you need a loan or looking to get credit, which was growing at that time, they couldn't discriminate against you because you were unmarried or for being a woman or for race or nationality. Mm-hmm. And this allowed women, both single and married, to be able to open a bank account in their own name as well without a male co-signer. This is another thing that, although it is law and has been for a long time, there are still cases that you can see of discrimination, especially when people go to, like, apply for a loan. So they go to a bank and they're looking to apply for a loan in order to buy a house or a car or to start a business or whatever it is. And those, like, decisions can be very subjective,
okay,
of, like, just that person decides whether to approve you or not, and they don't necessarily have to give a concrete reason. So there's a lot of, like, are you doing this just because of, because I'm a woman? Are you doing it just because I'm Latina, or just because, you know, whatever? So there's still discrimination that people face, even though technically it is illegal.
Okay.
And that's kind of what brings us to today. So we still have some of those issues, but we also have gained some of those rights as well. And I think being able to know, like, I have a right to be able to open this bank account, to have credit, to have things in my own name, and that choice. Even if you're married, you know, you can, you don't have to join everything with your husband.
You can have your own thing.
You can have your own bank accounts as well. That's also something that I learned from my mom. She has her own accounts. So she's married, but they have their own bank accounts, and they can, I think they're connected in some way and can kind of switch money back and forth. But, like, having things in your own name is also really important for women, and having that independence and that option. You know, if everything goes wrong, you still have things in your name, and you're going to be okay.
Like a backup plan.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of times I see lately on social media of, like, people talking about, oh, marriages don't last as long in these generations. Yeah. Like, oh, what's wrong with young people? And they don't care about marriage, or they don't have commitment, or things like that. And people pointing out, like, well, yeah, but now women can be financially independent. So, like, they don't have to stay with a husband if they don't want to.
True.
So it's not necessarily about, like, oh, the young kids these days don't care about anything. It's like, no, actually, they just have more choices and are empowered
to not have to put up.
They don't have to put up with things just because society tells them that they have to. They have options.
And I remember, like, a lot of comments about that a lot of people of my age don't want to have kids. And it's like,
do you know how expensive kids are?
Yeah, you know that. And how difficult it's have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the woman, how painful is have a kid.
You know.
It's like 10 like strong moments in your life. So it's like, no. I guess
the damage it does to our bodies.
Yeah.
The life expectancy.
So yeah, there's a lot of people, like, asking all the time, like, oh, like, about babies,
mm-hmm.
and get married, more about your dreams and mm-hmm. what do you want to do in your life. And it's like, I have other plans.
Yeah.
Not right now, thank you.
Yeah. I think we'll go, for time's sake, straight to Mariana, who connects us with another topic from the workshops, but also from, you know, our reality here in Colombia and in the world.
Right now, I guess, was wrong, but sure.
Yeah.
So, we know that for the woman, it's like the first person that take care about the babies, like a big responsibility about the food, about the water, and about, like, different situation and important parts. And I guess the woman work more hard for, like, have money if you're, like, a single mother. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, all these situations represent, like, a big pressure for, like, the girls more than the men,
mm-hmm.
because they need, like, help the mom. But it's, like, more common that the help coming for the girl, not for the man. So, it's, like, difficult because, like, the statistics show that the, like, community poverty more is the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, here in Colombia, it's, like, the principal job for a lot of women, it's not all. It's, like, homework in other parts.
Yeah, housework.
Yeah, housework, sorry. But for the men, they have other options mm-hmm. to try to find. And when you, like, have the same job than the men, it's, like, more common than the men get more paid than the woman. And a lot of people said that's not true, but the last I guess studies show that the women it's continue paying more less than the men.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so difficult. I guess right now with Gustavo Petro, they trying to look the option that the women that do housework have the opportunity to like put in colpensiones the money and work all life and later have the opportunity to take back that money, because before that's not was an option.
Mm.
And I guess right now they're studying that, and I guess that's gonna help a lot. The economic for the woman, but I don't know if that's gonna work in the rural part of Colombia, mm. because they continue with the idea that the men, it's the person that they need to take care about the money, not the woman.
Yeah.
So in the big cities, you can saw that the woman can have opportunities and can have bank account, but in other parts of Colombia that's so difficult. And actually in the popular zone of Bogota, there's like a lot of women that don't know have the opportunity to have a job,
mm-hmm.
because it's so difficult. And I guess for the young woman it's gonna more be difficult, because when you go out to the university you need to 5 years of experience in a work. But how you gonna do that, mm-hmm. if you go out to the university, and when you do the practice in the university, that's not gonna help you. Yeah, like that's come. Not like work experience. So I guess sometimes it's more difficult for the girls stay in the university,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes they need help in the house, and I guess. Like the men have more opportunities right now. The statistics in the university show that the woman is like the more ranking for the people that is going in the university. But it's so sad, because when you finish, depend of the career, you saw that maybe the men have more opportunities, yeah. than the woman.
And a lot of places don't want to hire a young woman because they have this assumption, no, but she's gonna like get married soon, or yeah. start having babies soon, and then we'll have to pay for her maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So they consider it more or easier or more cost effective to just hire a man as opposed to dealing with, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. Even yeah. though they're like can't ask if you how many children you have or if you're going to have children or things like that. Mm-hmm. Not all women want to have children. There's still that idea of like, oh, no, but if we hire her, she's just going to leave in a few years because she'll have babies.
Yeah. And I guess for the factories, like a big problem when the woman get pregnant, and I guess like it's like unfair when the woman have the baby, the man just have like 5 weeks with the baby,
mm-hmm.
and no more, and he need go back to the work, but she need to stay. And for the woman and for the baby, it's important that the father be there.
Mm-hmm.
If the father be there, if not,
yeah.
it's difficult. But yeah, I guess it's difficult when you're in Colombia and you're younger and you're a woman, mm-hmm. or you are just a woman and trying to find like opportunities, because it's difficult and a lot of time you not have it, because a lot of people continue that you're not available to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like something that we need to continue working. Obviously I guess this topic is like more bigger, mm-hmm. but we don't have a lot of time, but yeah, that's like the situation. So it's difficult to be a woman.
Yeah.
and young woman.
Women are, I think I read as I was preparing for today also, are more likely to have informal employment. Mm-hmm. So things like selling on the streets, or, you know, things that aren't necessarily a stable, steady income, don't have benefits, don't have, like, vacation time.
Yeah.
It's more susceptible to if something happens, like a pandemic, like a natural disaster, like a medical emergency or things like that, suddenly, you know, your life gets really turned upside down and your job may not exist anymore, or maybe a lot more difficult, because even if you have a job, even if you are working and getting some money, it's not, it's an informal environment. It's not a stable situation necessarily.
That's true.
But we are running out of time for today. Again, this is a topic we can continue to go on a lot longer. Thank you everyone for joining us. Any final thoughts or things you want to say goodbye?
Save money.
Save money. Yeah. Be responsible with your money.
$1 a day can make a whole world of difference.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I think to realize how empowering it is to be able to have your own money, especially as young women, and to take advantage of that. Like, yes, this is, I make the decisions about this money and I've earned it for myself.
Yeah.
And I can spend it how I want according to the dreams and plans that I have for my life.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
So thank you, everyone, for joining us today.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you. And we will be back next week with another program. So
thank you.
Stay tuned.
Love when it comes without a warning, 'cause waiting for it gets so boring. A lot can change in 20 seconds. A lot can happen in the dark. Love when it makes you lose your bearings. Some information's not for sharing. Use different names of hotel check-ins. Hard to stop it once it starts. I'm not sentimental, but there's something about the way you look tonight. Makes me wanna take a picture, make a movie with you that we'd have to hide. You better lock your phone. You go. I'm sorry if it's what you go.